Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Old Testament book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, verses 14 to 21. And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. And the Lord said to him, Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Mehalah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So he departed from there, and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him, and threw his mantle on him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, Go back again, for what have I done to you? So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, our ever living Lord and Savior, dear fellow redeemed, 3 weeks ago, we heard Elijah very low in his ministry. He was being chased as a fugitive by King Ahab throughout Israel. And to top it off, they were in the midst of a three-year drought. But the Lord provided for him. Remember how? Water from the brook Kidron, and ravens came flying in with meat in their beaks to feed him. But eventually the water dried up, the birds stopped coming, but the Lord again provided for Elijah by sending him to a destitute widow in Zarephath, whose flour and oil never ran out. But once again, Elijah's ministry hit a low point when that widow's son suddenly became ill and he died. The Lord answered Elijah's prayer, brought that son back to life so that Elijah could present him back to his widowed mother. Then at the end of the 3 years of drought came the confrontation with those 400 prophets of Baal. The prophets of Baal built an altar, and they prayed to their god Baal. In fact, they ran around in a frenzy, screamed, yelled, danced, cut themselves so their blood was flowing, crying out to Baal, Hear us, send fire from heaven. And nothing happened. Elijah turned to the Lord, said a simple little prayer, and the Lord Jehovah sent fire from heaven. It burned up the water, licked up the water and the dirt, and burnt everything on that altar. What an amazing victory the Lord showed. And also describing and showing that Elijah was his true prophet. The people fell to their knees and they cried out, The Lord Jehovah, He is God. The Lord Jehovah, He is God. And Elijah was at a high point again, probably the highest point in his ministry. But no sooner had those 400 prophets of Baal been killed when the wicked Queen Jezebel threatened him and said to Elijah, So let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Nothing seemed to have changed. And Elijah ran for his life. We're not told of anybody who stood up for Elijah We're not told of anyone who defended Elijah against this wicked queen. So Elijah flees into the wilderness, and he wants to die. He cries out to God and says, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." The Lord sent an angel to Elijah, fed him some food and water, strengthening him for the 40-day and night journey to Mount Horeb, where the Lord appeared to him. Remember how he appeared to him? Not in the fire, not in the windstorm, not in the earthquake, but in that still, small voice. And that brings us then to our text. The verse before our text, in verse 13, the Lord says to Elijah, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah replies, which is the first verse of our sermon text. Elijah said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They've torn down your altars. They've killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Pretty despairing situation. It seems to Elijah that everything he's done in his ministry, all his preaching, has come in vain. No one's listening. In fact, no one else is serving the Lord and all of Israel. That kind of feeling is not uncommon among Christians, among lay people in general, and among call workers in particular. You're a Christian friend. You talk to your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, maybe even relatives, about Jesus. Encourage them, comfort them. And what happens? Often, nothing. No results, no changes. As a pastor, go out and teach and counsel, advise, admonish. And what happens? Often, nothing. No results, no changes. We continually need to be encouraged by God's word that says, "Your labor in the Lord is not in vain." But these words of Elijah also indicate sinful dissatisfaction with God's governing of this world. In a way, Elijah is doing the same thing that Adam did when he fell into sin. He blamed God. He's saying, "Why isn't the way I want it to be, God?" So do you struggle with that same kind of sinful dissatisfaction and feelings at times of hopelessness? I know you do, because you're human, just like me. Pastoring people alike, we all do. And so the Lord's answer is, when everything seems hopeless, first of all, he says, "I will execute my justice." We read again verses 15 to 17. "Then the Lord said to him, 'Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Israel, or Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Mehalah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. Whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill.'" What do all those words mean? Well, the Lord is showing to Elijah that he's in control. He's ruling this world. He anoints kings, he deposes kings, he anoints prophets. He's the one that's in control of everything. And he brings his divine judgment upon his people when he sees fit, as he sees fit. If you read the first few chapters of 2 Kings, you'll see that Hazael, whom Elijah anointed as king over Syria, was a very cruel and wicked man. He came into Israel, and he burned down their homes. He killed the people. He even killed the children. He even killed pregnant women as a judgment upon the northern kingdom of Israel. When Jehu became king of Israel, he killed all of the descendants of Ahab, as the Lord had prophesied, because of Ahab's wickedness. He also had the wicked queen Jezebel, who was chasing Elijah, thrown over a second-story window, and she then was killed in the fall. God's justice may not be swift, but it is inescapable. Because of our sinful despair, and often self-pitying view of life, we need to be reassured over and over and over again that the Lord is governing this world according to his justice and according to his mercy. The Lord tells us that all things in your life work together for your eternal good, for them that love God. He also says, I will repay. Vengeance is mine. And he will execute his vengeance at his time. So, the Lord's assurance to us when all things seem hopeless is, I'll execute my justice. If not here in time, then for sure in eternity. But secondly, God says, when everything looks helpless and seems helpless in your life, I will also work through my word. We read verse 18. The Lord is speaking to Elijah, yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all those whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Was Elijah the only one left in Israel who didn't worship Jehovah? Not hardly. The Lord is kind of chiding Elijah for thinking he was the only one left. I mean, there was Obadiah, the servant of the king, who was Elijah's good friend, who was a believer. And Obadiah had hidden 100 prophets in a cave so they wouldn't be killed by Queen Jezebel. They were still there. And there was far more than 100. The Lord said there are 7,000 believers in the northern kingdom of Israel who still worshiped the Lord Jehovah. The Lord is showing to Elijah, your work is not in vain. All the preaching you did, there are results. Even though you may not see them, it is far greater than you ever, ever imagined. This statement of God is an important reminder for us members in this small little synod that we belong to, the CLC, the Church of the Lutheran Confession, for two purposes. One is, God knows his people. God knows how many children he has. Numbers aren't important to God. He says to us, simply preach, simply teach the word, and he'll do the work. So, we simply need to preach the law. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none who does good, not one. The wages of sin is death. All deserve to go to hell. Then we preach the gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Christ died for our sins. God was in Christ reconciling, making peace with the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. For he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Proclaim that good news of salvation, and then let the Holy Spirit do his work. Unfortunately, so many churches today have fallen for the church growth method of producing numbers by their own human gimmicks, human ideas. The Lord says, I will work through my word. My word will not return to me empty or void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it will prosper in the things for which I sent it. He just tells us, you do the preaching, you do the proclaiming, and I'll do the work in the hearts. Don't worry about the numbers. Secondly, we learn from this that in spite of this flood of false teachings we see in so many churches today, the gospel is still working. The Holy Spirit is still bringing untold numbers of people every day into the gospel through conversion by the simple gospel message of Christ and him crucified and risen again. Do we sometimes think in this ungodly, immoral world that we're some of the last believers left? Well, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, is in good hands. It's growing. Every single day, we should not despair. And thirdly, when everything seems hopeless, the Lord says, I'll provide for my church. We read the last few verses. So he departed from there, Elijah did, and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and mother. and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh, using the oxen's equipment, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and served him. That distinctive black mantle, that cloak that Elijah had, was his sign that he was a prophet of God. As he walked by Elisha, he threw it on his shoulders. And Elisha realized, he's calling me. Elisha then was to succeed the Lord's prophet, Elijah. We said Elisha understood that meaning immediately. As a farewell gesture, he killed one of the oxen, gave it to the people there to eat, and then he followed Elijah as what we would call an apprentice, a vicar, learning the work of the prophetic ministry. What the Lord was doing was answering Elijah's prayer. Elijah said he wanted to die. So the Lord is saying, you will soon die. Your ministry will end, but my ministry will continue in the hands of someone else. This demonstrates the Lord's care and the Lord's provision and the Lord's mercy for the people of his church. Although Elijah would no longer be alive in this world, that powerful, powerful, faithful prophet, the Lord provide another one, just like Elijah, with the same spirit as Elijah. In fact, as you read the history of Elijah and Elisha, you find out that Elisha not only proclaimed the same words as Elijah, but he performed some of the same miracles that Elijah did. And the Lord does the same thing today. There are quite a few vacancies in our CLC pulpits, in our CLC classrooms. In fact, our former teacher, oh, there, Claire, Miss Abbas, will be leaving this week, going to fill a vacancy in Gethsemane, Spokane, for a second teacher. And there are still schools in our synod still calling at this late date to try and get a teacher in their classrooms. More and more retirements are on the horizon among our pastors who are in their mid to late 60s and early 70s. When we get our okay to open our preschool, we need to call a teacher. Where? Who? So, is it time to despair? Is it time to throw in the towel? Is it time to give up? We know the answer, but sometimes we don't live as if we know the answer. God provides. God provides his congregations with the men and the women to help preach and teach the word of God to his people, serving him by serving them. Not only does the Lord see to it that his word is kept pure in his teaching and preaching, but the Lord sees fit to make sure he provides for pastors and teachers in the congregations where he decides and as he sees fit. The person proclaiming the message is not important. The message proclaimed, that's important. The problem Elijah had, we too have. He despaired because of his fleshly view of God's governing this world and because of his lack of trust in the power of God's word. So when everything seems hopeless in your life because of disease, disaster, destruction, maybe death, it so often appears that way because we don't have our eyes focused upon Jesus, the one who's in control. He's saying to us this morning that when everything seems hopeless in your life, it's not. He says, trust me. Believe me. I will execute my justice. I'll bring about my will to be done so that everything will work out for your eternal good. Trust me. Believe me. I will work through my word to strengthen my people, strengthen them, and always have some of my people on this earth serving one another, comforting for each other, and caring for each other. Trust me. Believe me. I'll provide for my church, providing men in the pulpits and men and women in the classrooms to teach my people and have that word of God continually proclaimed to the end of time, effecting faith in the hearts of people. Praise the Lord that he is in control of all things that happen in this world, and in control of your individual personal lives. Praise the Lord that he's working at all times for our good, so that his gracious will is accomplished, the blessing of his children and his word being proclaimed. Praise the Lord that he controlled history almost 2,000 years ago by sending his son into this world to take our place and become a human being. For if there ever was a hopeless situation, it was in Adam and Eve, intentionally, willfully, rebelled against God, ate of the forbidden fruit, and deserved to go to hell. And not only they, but every single human being born after that to be damned. If there ever was a hopeless situation, is when you and I were conceived and born dead in sins. And in that hopeless situation, the Lord executed his justice by sending his son to say, "Son, go take their place. Son, go live for them. Live a perfect life of obedient love for them. And then, son, take all their sins, all their faults, and I'm going to lay it on you and damn you for all of them. And then, son, we're going to resurrect you back to life to assure all those people of a resurrection to everlasting life. And son, then you and I will send the Holy Spirit to continue to the end of time with the means of grace, the gospel and word and sacraments, to proclaim that message of your saving love throughout all the world." The Lord God in control. There's never, never, ever a time when everything is hopeless. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.